Our scripture reading this evening is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
I like the book of Hebrews because the book of Hebrews basically, you know, tells us a lot about the better way. But even more than that, I believe that God's entire word tells us about a better way. It tells us about how we're going to be able to come back. But not only that, but my subject tonight is going to be how Jehovah rescues His people. We've gone through many lessons here, you know, within the assembly. And it's appropriate to bring out a lesson like this because it brings us to memory of the things that we've heard. I like the way the King James Bible reads in the very first verse and also the second verse of the book of Hebrews. It says, God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers and the prophets, and hath in these last days spoken us by His Son, whom He has appointed heirs over all things, by whom He also made the world. It's evidence throughout God's Word how the Old Testament and the New Testament come together. We see in the book of Genesis, in the very first portion there, verse 26, we see it says, Then God said, Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and of the cattle, and over all of the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Then God created man in His own image. And as He created man in His own image, He said, male and female that He created. And we see that on the seventh day, God rested. And as God rests on the seventh day, there's something that's important that we sometimes, you know, forget this there. But we also know that in verse 7, verse 6 of Genesis chapter 2, it says, But a mist used to rise from the earth and water the whole surface of the ground. And I know this has been mentioned before, but, you know, it came from the earth. And then God made sure that everything was watered, that everything was taken care of. We see this refers to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, in verse 7, where it says, And then the Lord formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. And it's wonderful how all this comes together because we see in the very beginning how water plays a very important part, you know, in the creation, how the firmament and all that comes together, you know, what we see in the sky, the clouds, which we know is mist. And it's a beautiful thing. But we see in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, man really hasn't changed. But what man has disobeyed God tremendously. So we see in verse 11, it says, Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. Doesn't that remind you of what we see today? But back then. But here's something that's important. Remember that God caused the mist to come from the ground. But in the day of Noah, it began to rain. And as we see in verse 12, it says, "And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all the flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth." As Jonathan mentioned this morning in Romans chapter 1, how man has changed the things instead of God, he's changed himself with his corruptible man. Verse 13 says, "And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh would come before me, for the earth is full with violence, because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them from the earth." And that kind of brings tears to my eyes, because when we look at what happens back there in the past, we need to understand that God did this for a purpose. In verse 14, he tells Noah, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, and you shall make the ark with rooms, and it shall cover inside and out of the pitch." So Jehovah, at this time, is going to save 8 souls from the destruction of the flood, because man is so corrupted. Man is evil continually, as the scriptures say. But we see that Moses comes on board, and we see God takes a staff, and Jehovah gives it to Moses, and he commands him to use it. Well, why is he commanding him to use it? Well, Pharaoh is evil. He's one of those evil people that God's word talks about. But not only is he evil, but his heart is hardened, and he's not wanting to let God's people go. In the book of Exodus, we see in chapter 14, verse 21, says, "Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by the strong east of wind all night, and he turned the sea into dry land, so that the seas were divided, and the sons of Israel through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right side and on their left." So can you imagine? I don't know if anybody has been to the Chesapeake Bay, but you know, in the Chesapeake Bay is probably the longest bridge that we have actually in the world, in the United States. And I know when I was a child, when we were going through that Chesapeake Bay, I was scared, because it would go above the land and it'd go down under the land. And can you imagine you going down under the sea? When am I going to come back? When are we going to come back up, Dad? Don't take us on this trip anymore. That's how we felt. But can you imagine how they were going through the Red Sea, and on this side of the wall, water, I mean, way, way higher than what they are on both sides? They had to have been scared. So, as they go through, the Egyptians start to pursue them in verse 23. And they start after them with their horses and their chariots and their horsemen in the midst of the sea. And as they continue, we see in verse 24, "At the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar and the fire and the cloud, and brought the army of the Egyptians to confusion." Here God goes again. Here Jehovah God goes again, saving his people, saving his people from the destruction, the evilness of man. 25, we see that he caused the chariots and the wheels to swerve, and he made them drive with difficulty, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians. And then the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may come back over the Egyptians, over the chariots, and over the horsemen. That had to have been awfully scary, because as it's coming together, you see God's people are moving forward. But as they're moving forward, they're seeing all this, And then after they get across, they see the chariots and they see bodies all over. I find it amazing how Jehovah uses water to protect his people. Not only protect his people, but we also see that Joshua in Joshua chapter 4, we see in verse 15, "Now the Lord God said unto Joshua," verse 16 says, "Command the priests to carry the ark of the tabernacle, that they come up from Jordan." And at that time, Jordan was overfilling. The waters were rising, you know, just like we heard that happened on the East Coast in Louisiana and places like that. The water was overflowing, and they were carrying the ark they were carrying the ark for God. But then we see in verse 23, the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you until you have crossed, just as the Lord your God has done to the Red Sea, in which he dried up before us until they crossed. Water plays a very important part in, it always has, and God has come in miraculously. Jehovah has shown us how important water is. As a matter of fact, water was important in the days that Jesus was walking upon the earth. And it was important on the day of Pentecost. As we see, even today, it shows that through the gospel, how he saves us. How does he save us? Well, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 6, it says, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as that he has a mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises." So all of those things that we see in the Old Testament on how one's sins were to be forgiven because of sacrifices, Jesus was the greater sacrifice. He was the sacrificial lamb. His blood was pure. But not only was his blood pure, we see that Jesus died once so that we may have a better promise. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. "Christ also died for sins once for all, the just and the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, he was made alive in the spirit, in which also that he went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who were once disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, and which few, that is eight persons, who were brought to safety through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of the dirt of the flesh, but of the approval to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." It's amazing to me how simple God has made everything for us. But there are active conversions in God's word that let us know that this process of the forgiveness of sins is easy. This process, Jehovah rescues his people through the forgiveness of sins. As we see how in Acts chapter 16, the Philippian jailer, as we see that area, we see that God comes in with an angel. And at this time, Paul and Silas are arrested. So as they're arrested, we know that if they get away, that the Philippian jailer's head is cut off. He has to pay for that. But we see that when everything shakes and he thinks that they're gone, that Paul says in verse 28, he says, and he cried out with a loud voice saying, "Don't harm yourself, for we are all here." And he came from the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after they were brought out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and he will save you and your household." And they believed in the Lord Jesus, "And you will be saved in your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to them together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of that night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, he and all of his household. Baptism is urgency. Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. There's only one way that God has given us that you may be able to be grafted into the kingdom, that you may be able to be saved, that you may be able to be in the church, that you may be able to be amongst the saints. As we understand, first of all, your attention has to be grasped through the Word of God. You need to hear what God's word says. But you also need to believe from the heart that he is who he is. But even more than that, we need to confess our sins. Confess our sins to the brother, confess our sins to God. We need to repent. We need to turn away from that in which we were living in the world. But we must believe that Jesus is who he is. And that he is going to forgive us our sins. And then, baptism. I believe Mickey was mentioning about Marshall Keeble one sermon. And one thing that Marshall Keeble says is just like you have a washing machine. You know, and the washing machine is like turning and agitating those clothes. But they won't get clean unless you put in soap. The water is the soap. Jesus is the soap that cleanses us. And then when you come out of that water, you become added to the church. Then you must continue in the faith in which God has supplied for us. His word, this Bible, is what we need to continue in. And we need to continue with the brethren. So, hopefully my lesson was short. If you have not obeyed the gospel, right now is the time for you to obey the gospel. You've heard the word, you've understood the message, and the invitation has been bought out. But if you have turned away, there is a way that we can come back. Baptism is not the way, but you must be baptized into Christ in order for your sins to be forgiven. Everything else you continually do, repent, confess, all those things you continuously do. So, If you're able to hear the message, please come up to the front as we sing the invitation song.